And my non-binary pals, welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform. Y'all have joined us just in time for our political week in review. Keep in mind, champions, this is all need-to-know news. News you need to know. It's been another wild boar of a week, oink oink. So hop to it, boys. Let's get this dumpster fire under control before we start our weekend.
Right, dude. No, I mean, come on. Let's be honest. This has been one dumpster fire of a week. Welcome to the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. As I was preparing for the week in review, we give you all the news you need to know from this past week. I thought, holy hell, dude. I'm exhausted just going over the stories, you know.
I would agree. I had the same sort of thought. I was, you know, flipping through what I've been talking about this week, and I realized a week ago, I mean, 5 days ago, we bombed Iran, and that feels like 7 years ago already. So it's on the list, but yeah, week in review time. The Vocal Minority back again. We have a website for anyone that still goes to websites. It's called thevocalminority.net.
We also have a...
Because somebody stole our...
Oh, that's right. We also have a comment line, 844-48-VOCAL. You can call and make a comment on the show. We'll play it, and we'll comment back on your comment. That's just kind of the way it works, so...
Round and round, baby. Hey, we're on Really American Media. We do some of the daily short-form videos, and we're broadcasting live right now on their platform as we co-opt it every Friday afternoon right around this time to, talk about kind of a week in review of some news and maybe some things that have happened today, since that is part of the week.
Yeah, that's it. You know what? That's how I just thought about this, dude. That's another use for that comment line. Like, if you want us to talk about a specific story and dive in a little deeper on something that happened throughout the week, then yeah, we'd be glad to do that too. Of course, check out the Really American platform, because there's all kinds of short form videos, but hey, you knew that already. There's some great content up there, so go check that out. And Steven, are you ready to get into this week in review?
Don't people just want to listen to us babble for 20 or 30 minutes?
I don't think so.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Steve Harness.
Well, oh, the man with the jingle. That's how you know we're professionals. Right. Around here. Okay. So, yeah, lots of news going on this week. I know we're going to talk about the Supreme Court momentarily. Or maybe it's just the Supremes. I know you're a Diana Ross fan, so we'll get to that. That's an oldies reference right there, kids.
Google I don't think that. There's kids listening. You always assume that there's only kids listening, dude. For some reason, you're like, only kids get on this big, bad internet, so go Google it. We have most people our age listening right now.
It's the dad in me. I just assume the only one listening / not listening to me are children, yeah. So... It's built in. But anyways, let's start off with my favorite state, California. And you know what, Nick? I have another metric to gauge why California is the biggest and the best, not just literally, but metaphorically, in all of America.
Please give it to me.
Yes. As Nick knows and is sometimes irritated by, I've been singing the praises of California for years. It is the biggest, the baddest, the coolest, pop culture, economically, everything else, progressive, bastion of fun stuff out here. One of my metrics that I'm still standing by is the fact that more songs have been written about the state of California than any other state, hands down. The only entity that even comes close is New York City. Hmm. But that, of course, is a city, not a state. So that was my original metric, California, most number of songs written about it. I dare somebody to prove
wouldn't
me
that
wrong.
Just be, though, because most people are writing songs in California?
No. Did Pearl Jam and Nirvana write nothing about Seattle? That's the only thing they wrote about? I don't think they wrote one song about Seattle, let alone...
I don't think they wrote about California.
Let's see. I'm feeling Minnesota, and I'm looking what? California, said the great Chris Cornell. But anyways, my point is, whether it's Hotel California or California Dreamin' or California, there's a lot of songs about them. But my new metric I learned when you and I just globetrotted the world... Mm. Nick and I were recently in Europe and in Greece, and a lot of people, when they would hear us talk, they're like, hey, are you American? And you noticed this. People asked, where are you from in America? And I started saying Nevada. And how many people looked at me like, caw, what is Nevada? They never
that
heard
is
of
the
it.
Truth. I mean, it was that Scooby-Doo, huh? And
Exactly. Yeah. And then I would start. Then I started saying I'm from California. And how many people said California? Never heard of that.
None. Yeah, they were all like, "Cool man, that's cool, dude." California. Yeah.
Exactly. The funniest one, we were there during the L.A. protest when Trump illegally set the National Guard in, and I told one of the waiters, like, yeah, I'm from California, which I was for like 20 years. I moved 5 feet into Nevada now, but I said, yeah, I'm from California. And the waiter starts going around the restaurant like, hey, this guy's from Los Angeles. They got the riots going on there. Los Angeles. Right? If I say I'm from California, it's the only city, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, those are the Los Angeles and San Francisco. I think that's what like outsiders know about California, right?
Right. So anyways, my point being, California's awesome, and I have been a fan of Gavin Newsom for a long, long time. I mean, he's been a big player in California politics forever. And going back to, like, when Obama was in office, I can remember thinking, like, someday, this mayor then, and then lieutenant governor, and then, you know, like, this guy's a rising star, he's going to be president someday, and that day still may come. But he's obviously front and center in this battle going on with Trump nowadays, because as much as I love California is as much as Trump despises it because of all the liberal powerhouse that it has. So Gavin Newsom getting beat up a lot in general, which is also a sign that they are threatened and intimidated by him. So they're constantly trying to blow him up over there on Fox News. And yeah, I think this actually just came out today. Gavin Newsom is going to be he is suing Fox News for $787 million in a defamation lawsuit.
And you know, when I read the headline, obviously, I thought that figure sounds really familiar to me, dude.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, does that number ring a bell? Anyone know why that of all numbers is the number?
Because there was another great lawsuit against Fox News for that exact amount. And if I do believe so, that was one, right?
Well, that I think was the settlement amount. I think Fox was sued for defamation for like $1 billion in the Dominion, you know, a voting machine case. And I think 787 is what they actually ended up paying out. So, yeah, Newsom knows they can afford that, apparently, is suing them for $787 million. Why, you ask? Well, thank you for asking. The defamation lawsuit is after the network falsely claimed that Newsom lied about a conversation that he had with President Trump. It goes slightly deeper than that, though. We always talk about the fact that you can tell a real news network from a fake one like Fox and Newsmax when, A, they will never issue a retraction. They'll never say they did something wrong. I've seen NBC do retractions, CBS, ABC. Like, when they get it wrong in a real news channel, they issue
a
retraction.
And BT Dubs, everyone gets it wrong once in a while. So if you're not doing retractions, you're like, oh, I don't care when I get it wrong.
Exactly. Google Fox retractions. I'd be surprised if you can find more than an example or two. But the other thing that even you and I, when we're doing some of our political sort of satire or skewering people, we're very careful not to edit somebody out of context, unless it's intentionally done as a joke. Like, you always want to make your edits very obvious so that you don't portray to the audience that this is literally what the person said. If you cut out part of it to make it succinct, you're supposed to make a clear visual edit so that people can tell it's out of context, right? So what you're definitely not supposed to do is edit the president out of context to cover up his bullshit lies so that you can try to make Gavin Newsom look bad. And that is exactly what Fox did, specifically Jesse Waters, deliberately misrepresenting a phone call between Newsom and Trump. So let's see here. On June 10th, Fox News host Waters played a clip of Trump talking about his call with Newsom, but he edited out Trump's claim that they had spoken just a day ago. Because that was the whole thing. Trump said we spoke a day ago, and Newsom was like, we haven't spoken in days, and even then it was brief, and everyone said it started saying Newsom was lying because Trump had a record of the call log. But the problem was the call log showed the call happened several days ago. So Fox News, in an attempt to make their dear leader look good, took out that yesterday thing and played it without that context, which is deliberately misrepresenting reality and was done to make Newsom look bad, to defame.
It just shows you, dude, the Fox network is like WWE. Like, it's entertainment over there, you know? I mean, when you have Tucker Carlson calling out Fox News for the crappy work that they do and the fear-mongering they do of elderly people specifically, I mean, that should tell you something. Like, everyone has been asking, oh, now the liberals are saying Tucker Carlson's on our side. No, that's not true. We're just saying, like, oh, yeah, like Steve says, even a broken clock is right twice a day. So, Tucker, yep, you were right.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, we'll see where this goes. It's pretty rare that public officials would ever sue a news network like this. There's some level of fame, like a president, that you generally cannot sue for defamation. Yeah. I can disparage Trump all I want. He's famous enough that he cannot just come back and sue me. He may try, as we've been watching him do, with actually some stupid amount of success. But Newsom is pretty big, but this was a pretty clear attempt to make him look bad and to try to make Trump look good. So, you know, the pocketbook is where it hurts for any advertising-based business such as a news outlet. So I don't know how many close to billion-dollar lawsuits these guys can weather over there.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, but this includes more. I mean, I think Gavin Newsom is obviously suing for $787 million. But on top of that, Newsom is demanding a full retraction, an on-air apology from Fox and Jesse Waters. So there's more to it than just the money. Like, he's making a statement with the money, but he wants this corrected publicly.
Yeah, and like we just said, that should be sort of the bare minimum. Any news channel that's been caught editing something out of context should simply just come out and issue a retraction. That would probably short-circuit the entire defamation lawsuit right there.
Yeah.
Because now they've publicly taken it back, so I don't know what he would be suing for, really, as far as damages go. But, yeah, they're probably going to dig their heels in and just be forced to dig deeper into their pockets someday, and I will find
it. Dude, I'll find it hilarious. My only question is when is Jesse Waters, that bastard of a human being, going to be fired because he's causing too many problems, costing the network too much money?
Well, if he loses this lawsuit, that'll probably do it, because that is why Tucker Carlson got fired. You know, we saw in that lawsuit that they had texts and communications going on that they knew they were lying on the show. They flat out knew it. And yet they did it. So when that lawsuit came down, somebody's head had to go on the pike. And because Tucker was called out for knowingly lying to his audience, he got scared.
Why do the viewers of Fox News not take that info so seriously? Like, hey, we were lying to you. Like, no one ever seems to bring that up. Like, yeah, they lied to us and they admitted it, so we know it's true. No one ever talks about that on the, you know, MAGA side.
It's a great question. I assume the bubble is so thick over there, it's hard to permeate it with stuff like that. And then you get into this mega Civil War stuff going on right now that we're seeing, where people like Tucker Carlson or even Marjorie Hobbitfoot Taylor Greene has recently called out Fox News as being propaganda. And they're not wrong, and I hate to agree with them, but yes, a broken clock is right twice a day, and they're right when they say that stuff. Yet the average Fox News viewer has somehow convinced themselves that it is not propaganda, that it's not a fake news channel. Yeah. They called themselves fair and balanced when they first started. I think they dropped that now. But they call themselves fair and balanced in an attempt to manipulate the audience. That obviously we're fair and balanced. It's the frickin' slogan for the station. Yeah. So take our word.
You shouldn't have to lead this podcast with, hey, we're Nick and Steve, and we're really honest, okay? Like, you know, that's a great sign that someone's just completely BSing you.
Yeah, indeed it is. So, yeah, so we shall see. And, Jesse Waters is a scumbag. And this might be an old story, but I just want to rehash it real quick. Do you remember either us talking about it or when this made news, maybe a couple of years ago, about how Jesse Waters met his now wife?
I don't recall, no.
So she was a producer at Fox News, maybe even on The Five or whatever he was on then, but she was a producer at Fox News. Jesse Waters was married at the time. Jesse Waters, he later told this story on The Five, and he thought that this was some I don't know, admirable story, romantic or something. But he described the fact that he went to this producer's car in their parking garage there at Fox Hellhole, let the air out of her tires, and then waited for her to go to get in her car, realized she had flat tires. He then pulls up and is like, hey, I see you got flat tires. Can I give you a ride home? Want to get in my car?
Dude, that is he's Ted Bundy. He might as well be Ted Bundy.
Right. Straight up serial killer move. And I believe it was Jessica Tarlov that said, like, are you kidding me? That is something a serial killer would do. And it is straight up creepy. And he just had this smug look on his face where he was proud. Like, what are you talking about? That's a great move I pulled.
You know what it makes me wonder, dude? If he told that live on national TV, what has he done that he hasn't spoke of?
Well, yes, exactly. I think there's a lot of skeletons in that closet over there at Fox News. Must be brimming.
I think when your mom comes out and says she publicly hates you and thinks that you're a terrible person, like...
Right? That is rough when you lose your mom and your key demographic. So, yeah. I'm just perusing some comments here on YouTube. We are live on YouTube. So if you're watching this right now on YouTube, it's 3:48 here on the West Coast, Friday afternoon. We're actually live, so feel free if you want to chime in on the comment section here. Let's see. Jesse looks like he got a feather in his pants. Is that a compliment?
I don't know what that means.
I assume it means he's got a little package. Oh, okay. But yeah. As always, there's a good little debate going on here in the comment section, so keep it up. I'll try to keep an eye on it. Anybody has anything good to say, I'll try and...
Sounds good, yeah. Well, welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. This is a week in review, for crying out loud.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Steve, you did mention that we're going to talk about the Supreme Court. I'm going to start by saying, like, today was wicked and wild as far as the Supreme Court works. I don't think I've seen it work harder in a long time since RBG was around, for crying out loud.
Wicked and wild as far as decimating democracy and the co-equal branches of
government? Yeah. I mean, exactly that. But can we talk about notification hell? I'm a person who hates to be on a text chain, like a family text chain. I'm like, enough already. I get it, dude. I don't want to hear this dinging. I felt like that today with the way these notifications were popping up. Supreme Court, Supreme Court, Supreme Court. I was like, are these all the same story?
Yeah.
So...
I've started to play a new drinking game, Nick. Every time I get a news alert that does not have the name Trump in it, I take a shot, and I am stone cold sober.
Yeah, I imagine you are.
Seriously, every time my phone beeps, it's what has he done now? That is just the first thought in my
mind. I thought when Biden got into office, I thought for a while the news cycle was really off because everything wasn't about Trump anymore. But that grew to a better place. So I have a good feeling that once this nightmare that we're in right now is over, that we'll get back to some semblance of normalcy. Hopefully.
Yeah, unless Don Jr. wins or J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio.
Always have to depress me, dude. Why do you do that?
It's a reminder of the reality we're living in. I want to say those are all preposterous things I just said. I also, in 2016 to 2024, it's like Trump's not winning. Like,
we all said it. We're all guilty. Right. All right, let's jump into these Supreme Court stories. I'm going to start with the first one being something that I think will be important to Steve. The Supreme Court has blocked Texas law.
I know which story you're going to talk about.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Okay. Supreme Court blocks a Texas law limiting online porn access. This is obviously a much bigger story than porno. Okay, this is about our freedoms. This is about freedom of speech. It got a lot of things tied into it. The Supreme Court halted a Texas law that would have required porn sites to verify users' ages with government IDs. This has been a big problem for people because, I don't know. I'm Catholic, so I have a lot of guilt in me. So I don't want everyone knowing where I'm going and what I'm looking at. You know what I mean? So,
well, sure. Let me make sure I heard you right. You didn't say they halted the law. They enforced it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So, yeah, Texas put this requirement in that any porn sites have to verify someone's age, which means you essentially have to hand over some type of personally identifiable information in order to verify that. You have to prove that you are as opposed to not. So, yeah, the obvious question was, do you really want to hand all this info over to a porn company? Assuming you didn't already give them your credit card info, which don't do that, people. But porn's free everywhere. I don't know who pays
for it. Yeah, I don't know who pays for it either. I know that this OnlyFans thing has really taken off where people are paying for porn. But, I mean, it's free everywhere. So the law would have required porn sites to post warnings calling porn addictive and harmful. You've heard a lot of people talking about how harmful porn is. Charlie Kirk's been a big one. I mean, he's traveling the country talking to young females and males, very young, telling them about how dangerous porn is. Can porn
highly debate.
Well, listen, hey, let's just be really logical here. Can porn on any level be dangerous? Sure it can. It depends what you're watching. You know, it depends how seriously you take it all and bring it into your reality.
Anything can be. There's a long list of things that if you use it inappropriately can be bad. I've heard people say sex addicts, like, that's preposterous. Sex is a good thing. Well, not if you're spending all your time and money and you can't hold down a job because you're trying to get laid constantly. Porn can do that too. So can alcohol. So can marijuana. Yeah. So could base jumping or skydiving.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, anything can be taken too far. This law that it would require warnings as addictive and harmful. The high court's order means the law is blocked while legal challenges are continuing. So that seems interesting to me with all these conservative judges on the Supreme Court saying, you know what? We do have to look at the law. We have to make sure this is good to go. So we're going to halt this for a little while.
Yeah, which is in contradiction to some of the other things they have done. Previously, two separate decisions, the court struck down the restrictions imposed in the Communications Decency Act of 96 and the Child Online Protection Act of 98 as unconstitutionally restrictive of free speech.
That's right.
But that's a different Supreme Court. This one doesn't seem to care about restrictions on your First Amendment rights. God forbid we step on your Second Amendment rights, but the first,
Well, they talk about this being a slippery slope, something for everyone to think about, especially the MAGA types, because could laws like this expand to other types of online content like political speech? I mean, we all hear stuff like that and we think, oh, that's crazy, that'll never happen. But I've been proved wrong several times over the last, 100 days, you know, specifically. Yeah. So,
well, and actually, if you look at two different legal things going on right now, they could culminate in that. The TikTok ban and this restrictions on freedom of speech. Because you could easily connect those dots to say, I don't like Facebook anymore. Like, I don't like the speech they're doing there. So we're going to do age restrictions on Facebook, or it's going to be banned in states that don't like Zuckerberg or whatever. Right. Like, it's a very slippery slope, which is also the name of a movie I was watching on Pornhub.
Without verification, because... But you know what? You're not in California anymore. You're in Nevada. So this is something that could definitely come to your state.
Yeah.
Here's,
and what am I going to do? Is
get
the
a VPN. You know, I mean, I'm sure you're going to figure it out. Another thought about this whole thing that people are starting to bring up is tech costs, because small sites can't afford verification systems such as they're asking for here. So, it ruins a lot of business. How about that?
Yeah, I feel this is similar to legalized pot, or even back in Prohibition, legalized, you know, alcohol. Yeah. I trust the bigger companies that have investment in that field that they're going to want to play things correctly. Yeah. So, you know, I would rather have marijuana being sold in an actual store with employees and a state license and taxes. And they have a lot to lose if they screw stuff up, as opposed to the guy in the van in the parking lot who doesn't care or sell pot to anyone. With the porn thing, what has happened in Texas is probably going to keep happening elsewhere. Pornhub, the biggest porn site on the planet, simply won't be in Texas anymore. They've already done this. They said, screw you, Texas. We're not putting these limitations in place. So if you live in Texas, now you don't get to have Pornhub. And Pornhub is a huge company that has something to lose, as opposed to any other, I don't know, pseudo scummy, almost dark web sort of porn site that's not going
to
fall.
Well, they're first of many to pull out, for lack of a better term. You know, you're just going to start losing big companies like that. They'll say, you know what? Hey, we're worldwide. We'll still make our money. Don't you worry about that. So they'll just leave, you know?
Of course. And yeah, I sort of wonder, is Pornhub, why can't they just relocate to freaking Mexico then or something? Why would they care about U.S. laws if their company is based outside of America? Aren't we sending jobs outside of America? Isn't that the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing?
I don't know how that works, but stay tuned for details. We'll update you on this story, no doubt. We got a lot to get to here, Supreme Court-wise. Supreme Court rejects appeal to ban LGBTQ books in schools and libraries. Can't even believe this was up for debate, but this is America, ladies and gentlemen. This is where we're at right now. There's people that are afraid of anything that they don't know about. So, yeah, they're trying to pull all these books out of schools and curriculum in schools. And why wouldn't we have that in our curriculum to teach people about social studies? I mean, these are the people that live amongst you, your everyday lives. So to pull these books out is obviously crazy. The Supreme Court declined to hear two cases from Texas and Missouri that sought to ban LGBTQ themed books from school libraries. Lower courts had already allowed the books to remain, citing First Amendment protections, obviously. But conservative activists claimed the books were inappropriate and violated parents' rights. The high court's decision means LGBTQ books stay on the shelves for now, which is the right move.
Yeah, but hold on. I'm confused. I hate to debate this live on the show here. I thought they said that it was okay to censor those books as far as if my kid is in your class being taught that, I have a right based on my religious freedoms not to have my kid exposed to that. I don't think they were saying they could ban the books like you were just saying, but I think the ruling was that you could take your kid out of that class or have them not participate in that sort of thing based on your religious
freedoms. That is true. Yeah.
Okay. So it's a mixed thing there. I mean, you're right. They didn't ban the books, which is obviously the right thing. But they did essentially say that parents have the right not to be exposed to a book that states facts. Yeah. That there are gay people, and some of them are married.
Yes. So the Supreme Court did the right thing in upholding those books can remain in curriculum. I guess, you know, if parents want to take their kids out of any particular curriculum that's being taught, I suppose you have the right to do that. I don't know why you would. I mean, if you really want to look into the studies on this, nothing is making your kid gay, bi, trans. Learning about something is not making you something. If you're already that thing, you may feel a little more connected to it and see it normalized in a society that hasn't done it, but it's not making you gay. Get off this argument.
Yeah. That's funny, because if we all just read books about being billionaires, then apparently we'd all just be billionaires.
Exactly. So.
But this does open the slippery slope up. If I'm allowed to critique and pull students out of curriculum based on books, like, well, what is it, Alabama or whatever, that just allowed the Ten Commandments in classrooms? Right. Couldn't I say my kid shouldn't be in that classroom if you got the Ten Commandments on display? Or can I say that I'm a Satanist, so take the Bible out of any, you know, classes or studies? It shouldn't be in the library. Yeah. Like, it does create quite another slippery slope. The theme of the
sure day. Does, dude. Yeah. So it's just interesting watching the Supreme Court do their thing, and I'm just confused by a lot of it because it doesn't make a whole bunch of sense based on our Constitution to me. That they would say, you can, because you're exactly right. I mean, this could go in so many different directions. You don't like it when the pendulum swings the other way, but you're fine with it when it's something you enjoy. So,
right. Yes. Well, in this pendulum thing, are you done with that one? Can we talk about this federal courts not being federal anymore? So the other, big thing that came out of the Supreme Court today was Trump went with this absurd notion that federal judges cannot enact a federal ban on something or can't put a stay on an order while the courts work it out. And the Supreme Court agreed with him, saying a federal judge in Washington State cannot issue a nationwide injunction on something. And that also seems slightly crazy because I thought federal judges were federal, not regional.
Yes, dude. Yes. It seems crazy to me. I have no idea. If you can explain to me how they came to that decision, I'd do something dirty to you.
Well, lube it up then, because they're in Trump's freaking pocket. They're in the MAGA agenda. They're trying to push their agendas by pretending that they're not a co-equal branch of government and letting Trump get away with this kind of stuff. But my pendulum, reference at the start of this was the fact that they didn't actually say that Trump can get away with this. They said the Oval Office, the White House, the administrative branch, that they can get away with it. Mm. So everyone, whether it's 3 years from now or 8 years, like, a Democrat will be president again someday. So MAGA out there, are you okay with the next version of Obama being able to do these exact same sorts of things? Because not only did the Supreme Court essentially give every president immunity moving forward, but now, yeah, a federal injunction in some, conservative state, screw them. I don't have to listen to them. Democrats can do this stuff, too. This should freak everyone out bipartisan.
Sure. We've always said, if Obama had done that, you guys would be freaking out. You don't think about that stuff when you're in the winner's circle and supporting the guy that you love so much. But I promise you, you will think about it, and you'll be pearl-clutching very soon when that pendulum swings the other way.
Absolutely. Stony Bake Nerd, if I'm saying that right, he says the judges are paid off on YouTube. I don't know if they're literally paid off with a bag of cash, but they certainly are being incentivized to be part of the MAGA agenda. Whether it's the speeches they get to give, the books they can write, or the exotic trips they get taken on by wealthy donors and MAGA types, I don't think there's a bag of cash on their front porch, but they're essentially so you are right.
Who's Trip Boy? Clarence Thomas? Yeah, Thomas. He got cash. He did receive cash. He received cars. He received trips. So, yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, they're buying them off one way or another.
Right. And that guy, that wealthy donor, ended up having a case in front of the Supreme Court. They're not just doing it for the hell of it. So, yeah, the Supreme Court has done a few things of late where I'm like, okay, maybe they're not completely in the bag for Trump. But then stuff like this comes out. And the other thing I really want to point out to everyone freaking out about the birthright citizenship ruling today, this was not actually a ruling on the merits of his executive order trying to overturn birthright citizenship. This is just saying that a federal court can't make an injunction nationwide. The merits of that case will still make its way through the courts. And I would be gobsmacked if somehow that is not declared unconstitutional, because I'm not a lawyer, Nick, but it's in the frickin' Constitution. So I don't see how that could not be unconstitutional to just try to get rid of it all on your own, because we don't have kings in this
Yes, we do, dude. We do. That very apparent. And, I call this, I'm starting to think of all of this administration as loophole Larry, dude. I mean, all these are loopholes that they're finding to do stuff that we're like, what? That makes no sense. But you know that Stephen Miller, Project 2025, Steve Bannon, they're the king of these loopholes of hard, nonstop research on finding these ways around things that the founding fathers never intended to have happen. So,
right. And the other problem, too, like I've said, like, it's going to work its way through the courts, but what damage will be done in the meantime? Because they're going to run roughshod. And this thing kicks in 30 days, where apparently his executive order will be, I don't want to say the law of the land, but it'll be precedent for now until it's defeated, hopefully, in the court. So we're going to have this window in time here for whether it's months or a year or two, where there will be people born in our country who will have no citizenship. Because they were born here, so they're denied the birthright citizenship. They weren't born in whatever country their parents are from, so they're not citizens there either. They will just be countries.
They're in limbo, dude.
And not in a
No. Limbo is very fun. You're right. Let's talk about the last thing I have on my list for Supreme Court here for June 27, 2025. The Supreme Court agrees to hear challenges to Obamacare's preventative care mandate. You know, we're still going over a lot of stuff with Obamacare. The conservatives hate Obamacare. And, you know, even though it saves a ton of them that have been sick and, you know, had insurance, the Supreme Court will hear a case that could gut the Affordable Care Act's preventative care mandate. What's at stake here? Whether insurers must fully cover services like cancer screenings, HIV prevention drugs, and other key preventative care without cost sharing. Again, a judge right out of Texas has ruled parts of the mandate unconstitutional, citing religious freedom concerns over certain services. So this, again, this makes no sense to me why you would gut that kind of stuff. When you have those preventative services, it should, in theory, save you from spending a ton more cash on these, you know, diseases that you are being prevented from and being watched.
Yeah. No, it's hilarious. I mean, we've talked about this for years, I suppose, the fact that for some reason conservatives like to vote against their own interests. And a lot of these Supreme Court rulings today, conservatives are all for this, you know, limitation on porn or going after Obamacare. But plenty of conservatives are on Obamacare and watch porn or smoke pot, you know, these things that they publicly admonish. But behind closed doors, they're getting stoned, they're watching porn, they're getting their Obamacare. So I don't understand why they are so publicly against this stuff, that if it was actually taken away from you, you would be screwing yourself over. Also the name of a movie I watched last night.
Wow. You better watch them before you can't any longer, Steve. Okay. So there you go. That's all kinds of stuff happening with the Supreme Court. Welcome to A Week in Review.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know. Start the news chant, please.
Come on.
News, 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 news.
Yeah. Well, for better or for worse, the Supreme Court's on summer break. I didn't know they were like, you know, school teachers. They just get all summer off.
That's not true.
We got to wait for, I think, this session's done. They don't start up again until the fall.
The fall? I don't know the answer to this. I'm just in disbelief. Is that true?
Well, now I got to Google it since we're live. Let's see. When does the next Supreme...
Maybe it's true, dude. They need a lot of rest. They're like teachers. You're right.
Let's see what Google AI says. The next Supreme Court session, known as the October term, will start in October. So
it's unbelievable.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a hell of a job. A lifetime appointment. You get tons of money, bribes left and right, and you get summers off. And you thought teachers had it good.
You don't have to spend a ton of cash on outfits, dude. I mean, you get one uniform you wear over and over. I mean, it's a hell of a job.
That is quite a perk. You're correct. So, all right. I don't know how much time we want to spend on this, but let's talk about the other big news that, like I said earlier, feels like it happened a lifetime ago. But a mere 5 days ago, we did attack a sovereign country who we had no actual beef with, who we were not involved with any conflict on, and who we did not get any sort of approval on before we started dropping bombs on Iran late last Saturday night, early Sunday morning.
That's you summed it up very nicely.
Well, thanks. We can move on then. Now, here's my questions. Now, first of all, when we did these bombings, all of a sudden, Iran was an imminent threat. They're developing a nuclear weapon, even though Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence, whose job it is to take intelligence from all these agencies and put their, you know, opinion to the president, said, no, they're not developing it. Of course, she said that honestly before she knew there was some skeevy agenda going on here to find an excuse to bomb Iran. So all of a sudden, it was a big threat. Yet, I never heard about it 3 weeks ago. I didn't hear about it during the campaign. I didn't even hear about the first couple months of his presidency. Yet, all of a sudden, now, last weekend, we have to bomb these
people. Of course, dude. It was a quick decision. And doesn't that make you look bad? If you hired Tulsi Gabbard for that position and she was like, yeah, this is not happening, and you're like, we're going to ignore that. Like, why is she still in the position then? Isn't she awful at her job?
Well, that would be the admission. And I don't know if you've noticed, but she's not been at these press conferences when they showed them in the Situation Room bombing Iran. She was not sitting there. Like, she has been blacklisted because she told the truth. And you cannot do that in mega world, Nick. That's a big no.
You're right.
And yeah, so she's been sidelined. And Now Trump's painted in a corner, because if he fires her, then he looks bad. That was his hire, his best people that he hires. So kind of like Hegseth, like even though he's been called out and should be fired, Trump knows it looks bad if he starts firing people. Right. So he's just going to sideline her. But yeah, so apparently it was so important that we just had to bomb them. No diplomacy. And by the way, you know, last Friday on the show, you played a clip that was great that I had not seen circulating anywhere. About, well, describe it, the whole steak and lobster
thing. Oh, yeah, that was just a clip of guys in the Army, men and women in the Army, going into the chow hall, and they were being served steak and lobster and name brand soda. And they said, we're going to war, we're going to war. And I know my wife had brought that up before as an Army veteran. She was like, yeah, they treated us a lot better before they shipped us out. So I believed it. Yeah. I thought it was true, and it turns out it was.
It did turn out to be true. And we did a video on Really American that got 100,000 something views, and that was in there. And a lot of people commented here on YouTube that I'm in the Army or the armed server, you know, I'm enlisted, and this is 100% true. I've seen it before. I'm seeing it now. So it's a real thing. And my point is, on that same day, Trump had come out and said, I'm given around 2 more weeks. While simultaneously knowing full well they were in the final stages of getting ready to bomb the country. So he flat out not only publicly lied to all of his people, by which I mean Americans, not just mega types, like he flat out lied to all of us. But he also then was giving anyone in Iran, he was not giving them the chance to evacuate, to move to a safer location, to do anything else. He essentially flat out lied to get them to be complacent so that they can just sneak on in there right away within 2 days, not 2 weeks, and launch this attack.
Yeah. And, you know, some may say like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing because, well, it needs to be sneaky and everything else. But lying to us, just don't say anything, dude. Just don't say anything at all. But he always has to spout off. And, you know, I think he, to be honest with you, I know I'll probably take crap for saying this, but I think he gets off on this. Human lives, I don't think mean a lot to him, especially when they're not the same color as I am. And I think he gets off on this, to be quite frank.
Yes. I think he is like a kid in a toy store after the store has been closed. He realizes he can play with everything. Yeah. He is president. It's a second term. He wants to do everything a president is able to do, whether it's pardoning people or attacking a country. He wants to play with his toys. He wants to put a stamp on stuff. So, yes, he created a reason to go bomb Iran, whether it's to distract us for the Epstein files, whether it's to have, you know, be blowing Netanyahu or whatever. Yeah. He certainly did it completely unnecessarily. Yeah.
Well, and then the aftermath, you know, there's been so much debate over that for this past week. And I, you know, I tend to not believe Trump. Imagine that. You know, he comes out and says, you know, oh, it's decimated. It's decimated. And there's no proof of that whatsoever. I was listening to him talk earlier today, and he was like, all the granite and stuff, you can just see it's black. It's, I mean, you look at the pictures and it's just black. Like, of course it is, dude. A bomb went off. But you don't know how far it went down into the ground. You don't even know if it was there, that uranium.
Yes. I mean, first of all, Trump lies like he breathes. Everyone listening to this knows that. And as I just pointed out, he lied just 2 days prior going into this. But for any president to come out right after you bomb something and to say total obliteration, like you have not had time to assess that. So obviously you're just blustering like Trump does. Because as we know, everything with him is the biggest and the best ever. And that's an intentional gaslighting, brainwashing technique that Roy Cohen taught him years and years ago. So, yeah, obviously he's freaking lying. And then we get these reports that maybe there was severe damage, but it looks more likely like it was relatively mild, like maybe we sent him back 6 months. And Trump ignored our own intelligent assessment and went with an Israeli assessment that was 3 sentences saying like, oh, yeah, no, obliterated. Yeah, we can see it from here. It's destroyed.
Isn't that what you would want them to think? Like, you know, no more action over here. Like, you took it all. It's obliterated. It's done. You guys did a good job. It's crazy. Yes. Then Pete Hegseth came out and tried to spin it on all of us. The fact that we are not agreeing that this has been completely obliterated is somehow a diss to all the brave soldiers that took part in this mission, right. Which was just so, it was such a load of crap, dude. Let's just talk about what really happened.
Yes, that is a terrible classic Trump-style deflection. And it annoys the crap out of me, because obviously, if we're saying that the damage was not as severe as you, President Trump, said, that's got nothing to do with the troops. The troops executed the mission they were given. No one's saying they missed the target or whatever. Should they have done it 50 more times to get deep enough to do what they what the goal? Maybe, but that's not the point. The troops did the job they were assigned for. They seem to have done it top notch. They hit their targets. No live. Like, that is not the freaking point of questioning the intelligence coming in. And it's, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, it's effing disgusting that he tries to deflect away from their own propaganda and tries to shame us into, you know, admonishing the military. And did you see in that press conference, Trump said, like, we got a call from the pilots. The pilots called us, very upset. Those pilots, they were crying. You made the pilots cry. Are you happy with yourself, CNN?
Yes. That, I mean, what a load of crap, dude. It is just crazy to me that they, that Pete Hegseth is so on board and such a butt with Trump that, you know, every press conference he's in now, he always refers to Trump like, you're being mean to this guy. You're being mean to the president. And like, no, we're just looking for the facts, dude. Just tell us exactly what happened. We have the right to know.
And if you noticed, everyone in Trump world is just emulating Trump now. They're mimicking him. Like, now everyone in the press, you're the worst, and what a terrible, disrespectful question.
Totally.
And whether it's Carolyn Leavitt or Pete Hegseth, like, they're all just little Trump puppets.
Yes, 100%. And he loves that. You know, he asked for a cabinet of, you know, worshipers, and he got it, dude. That's exactly what he has.
Correct. And the other thing, my last point here on the Iran craziness, Trump, in that same press conference, someone asked him, like, okay, so they had a bomb, apparently. They were imminently going to have a nuclear weapon, so we bombed them. You obliterated them, sure. Don't we need to get them to sign some sort of agreement now that they're not going to rebuild the nuclear arsenal, not going to try to weaponize again? Shouldn't we get something in writing so that we solidify this whole conflict and can move on? And Trump was like, I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's that important. I believe them. They're not going to
do it. They got the message.
Like, yeah. Right. So it was important enough to bomb them, but not important enough to get them to sign a document saying, like, we're not going to do that again. Because he knows they weren't doing it in the first place. He knows they aren't going to sign something like that. And he does know we don't need it because it was never a real thing in the first place.
Yeah, this would be interesting to see where this all goes. I guess not that it matters, but, you know, do you have any fear in your body for retaliation?
Yes. And I'll tell you, I read an interesting article this week that at first I thought was sort of alarmist, but it made more sense the more I thought about it. And that, I don't remember the author's name, but she wrote an article basically saying that Trump would actually be happy if there was a domestic terrorism attack, whether it's from Iran or somebody sympathizing with them, that he would like for there to be a terrorist attack on home soil, because that then allows him to essentially declare martial law, say, look, everyone, there's an imminent threat in the country. I get to take over. I'm going to send in the troops. Because the Supreme Court has said repeatedly, when it comes to national security, that the president gets a wide berth. That if he's saying this is a national defense, national security, that we're going to grant him a, you know, wide path there. So if there was a domestic terrorism thing, if there was one in California, every Marine on planet Earth would be in California militarizing the entire state. He would love for that to happen.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he's just so unpredictably predictable that he scares the crap out of me with stuff like this, you know, so.
Absolutely. I mean, his whole defense for sending the, you know, the National Guard to California was lawlessness, the city's on fire and all that. So if there's actually lawlessness because of a terrorist attack, the city's actually on fire, then he would actually have the credibility to do it. And it would probably take forever in the courts to even work it out. And they'd probably side with him because it would be national defense at that point. But it would just be so effed up that he lit the fire that caused that attack for him to then capitalize on it. And that, I believe, is the game he's playing.
Well, it's like you're saying, he wants to try everything, you know. It's like when you're a race car driver, I want to go through all the gears, I want to see how this baby handles, so yeah.
Spot on. So, good luck, Iran.
Scary times, ladies and gentlemen.
Need to know news. News you need to know.
Oh, hey, dude. Here, let me give you a little something positive for you to think about. You are a fairly educated person, and you could become more educated now for $0, okay? Did you know that Harvard thinks we all need a little crash course in how the U.S. government works? And because of that, you know, they thought, oh, all these people are just reading Facebook comments, they're getting all their news and think they know, you know, how politics works based off Facebook. They are starting free Harvard courses you can take online right now to go learn about the Constitution, about our country, about our government.
Yes. Harvard has actually offered free courses like this for a while, but not necessarily on this topic. So it is not a coincidence that now they're like, hey, those free courses, we're going to do some on basic government, constitutional law and whatnot. But yeah, I don't know. That would be sort of a feather in the cap to finish some Harvard, even if it's an online course.
If you could say you went to Harvard. There you go, Jesse Waters. That's your move. Like, I went to Harvard, not popping people's tires. Okay. Harvard University offering free online courses that cover the foundations of American democracy, civic engagement, and you can audit these all at no cost and brush up on how your government works. So go check that out while it's still available, because things are happening with our universities around this great country of ours. Did you see that University of Virginia president steps down amid all the political pressure from this Trump cabinet?
Yeah, it's freaking disgusting what he's doing to our colleges, and that any of them are bending over or ceding.
Yeah, I mean, on gosh, I don't know how you fight it without fighting it, you know, as far as bending over. Well, this particular story, the president of the University of Virginia, James Ryan, announced his resignation, citing intense political pressure from the Trump administration over the university's diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. That's nuts, dude. This guy, Ryan, who has led UVA since 2018, was previously the dean of Harvard's Graduate School of Education, said he could not in good conscience continue a battle that might harm the university's students, faculty, and finances. He plans to leave his post by mid-August, a year earlier than he initially intended. So apparently he's stepping down to try and leave the university, the faculty, the students all in a better place. I don't know if it was the right move.
How does losing your leader, how does losing somebody who could fight back, how does that
well happen? If you are hated by Trump and the DOJ so much that they are going to be myopic and just focus on you and trying to ruin your school, maybe you got to step back.
But why were they focused on you? They focused on you because you were the president of the college. There's going to be another president of the college. They're going to then focus on that person.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, maybe he is setting up the next president to come in and be like, yeah, we're going to do away with DEI. These universities could take some great examples from huge companies like Costco, who have said, you know what, we're not going to step away from DEI, and they are thriving. So yeah, I don't know if it was the right move, but it's a move, and he's leaving, and it is just another puzzle piece pulled out of this beautiful puzzle that we call America.
Yeah, and we've been hearing that Harvard's trying to come to some settlement with Trump. Like, there's no settlement here. There's a right and a wrong, and Harvard's got the money to fight this. And Harvard could, I don't know, just shut down for the next 3.5 years and be just fine. Like, they will outlast Trump. They've been around for a very long time. They're going to be around for a long time. So use your stature and this billions you're apparently sitting on to fight the good fight and go down in the history books that you're going to be teaching future students that you did the right thing. Not that you sort of stood up and then we compromised with a dictator. Yeah. It's absurd. And there's another story that I'll get to here. Are you done with that? And this, I know we talk a lot about the fact that we have a wannabe dictator running our country. And sometimes that feels like we're being a little facetious or something, or it's hyperbole. But I just keep seeing multiple examples, example of him truly being an authoritarian dictator. And this story this week, I want to vomit. Trump threatens to sue the New York Times for unpatriotic reporting.
Wow.
Unpatriotic. That is the kind of crap that a Putin or a Kim Jong-un would say. How dare you say something that would be unpatriotic?
Well, in a country where we have the right and freedom to burn the American flag, you don't get to do that kind of stuff, right?
They're doing their best to take all those sorts of things away. But yes, to accuse a newspaper of not being patriotic enough, as if that is their job, to report things favorably. And it's like we keep seeing with Trump, oh, that's a nasty question you asked. How come you don't ask nice questions? Yeah. That is not the effing job of the free press to prop you up. They are not tabloids here to make you look good. They are here to hold accountability and truth to power. So I'm sorry, Mr. President. Sometimes you're going to get some hard questions, like every president in history has gotten.
Yes, 100%. The way he has treated the media since 2016, when he called him the enemy of the people, it's been very obvious to all of us that he doesn't respect media unless they kiss his butt and completely agree with him, right, favorably. But the minute that you just skew a little to the left, he's done with you. You know, Anderson Cooper, I think, is a fine reporter. He's been getting into it with Anderson Cooper. He calls him Allison Cooper, you know, because he's gay, and that's, a schoolyard type thing to do. The way he treats the media is disgusting, and this is just one level further of suing the New York Times because they're unpatriotic.
Yeah. And he's trying to claim that they have, were misleading and lying about this assessment that the damage in Iran was not as bad as Trump is claiming. And they got that from a report that Trump, in that even press conference, admitted, like, no, it's a real report. Yeah. So all they were doing is citing an actual report. But yeah, the report got leaked. And that is a long-running precedent in this country that, yeah, we do have leakers and whistleblowers get protections because we want to have, stuff that's trying to be kept secret, be put out in the light of day.
Yeah.
So they were demanding that the New York Times retract and apologize for its false, defamatory, and unpatriotic article. And I was just admonishing Harvard. Kudos to the frickin' New York Times. They published a thing saying no retraction is needed. No apology will be forthcoming. We told the truth to the best of our ability. We will continue to do so. In other words, take that job of yours.
Yeah, amen, dude. You're right. I mean, we talk about this a lot at Really American, is that, we need some of these people with larger platforms and deep pockets to stand up and say, no, we're not going to roll over. We're not going to bend the knee. We won't kiss the ring. We're on the right side of history. So someone like the New York Times stepping up, that's fantastic. Another one for the books.
Yes. And everyone should be stepping up simultaneously, by the way. This is the whole problem. What was his name? Rick Massey or whatever, a Republican who admonished Trump for the Iran bombing without having authorization. Well, he was one of the only voices. So now MAGA World is just attacking this guy. And because he's alone, he doesn't really have much of a leg to stand on. So if the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Huffington Post and NBC, ABC, everybody stood up together and said, you pick on one of us, you're picking on all of us, then they would have some leg to stand on. And kind of like we have done these little mini boycotts where we, don't eat McDonald's for a day or don't go on Facebook for 24 hours, because that sort of short-term, boycott will do actual damage to a company. I would love it. And I know this is a catch-22 of a proposal, but I would love it if the organized media out there, just 24 hours at a minimum, but I'd love to see a week, don't cover Trump. Don't give him any airtime, any exposure whatsoever. Ignore the man for a week. He will freak the hell out at the lack of attention he is getting. And then he will probably be a little smarter moving forward who he admonishes. Mm. But that would require all journalism, all First Amendment, protectors out there to actually say, no, we're boycotting your bologna for a week. You get nothing out of any of us.
I love the thought of it. And I think that, you know, there's some possible good moves there. But I also think that there is a responsibility to these other news outlets to write the truth. And, you know, you can't just have a week of no truth in all Fox News, News Nation, all these bastards in the news telling the public lies like it's so damaging without any rebuttal.
Exactly. And that's why I say it's a catch-22, because you'd be sticking it to them, but you'd also give them a week of blackout coverage where you could do anything you want and no one's reporting on it. And you're right. The Fox News would not go along with it. They just up their propaganda because there'd be no one to push back. So it's this terrible catch-22 the media's in. You don't want to feed the beast by giving him airtime, but if you don't give him airtime, you're letting him run roughshod. It's kind of like when the Democrats didn't want to shut down the government a couple months ago. They were like, we don't want to give in to him, but if we let the government shut down, he'll do anything he wants. There'll be no accountability. So it's the pseudo genius of Trump, how he's painted us all.
How about they just they still cover him, but what if they don't use his name anymore? You know,
oh, kind of like when they do public shootings, they just say shooter. They don't say his name.
You know, that had hurt him too. Yeah. We know he loves to plaster that stupid last name on everything. So.
Yeah. Well, this is America right now, so I don't know. I'm waiting for everyone at Really American to either get audited or deported, because we are full-time, 24-7, just attacking this administration because they deserve it and they need it and America needs it, and we constantly get comments from people saying that we appreciate what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, one of these days, I mean, geez, we're all going to end up in Guantanamo with freaking Brian Tyler Cohen and David Packman. We're all going to Guantanamo.
Everyone's going. It'll be a nice place to visit, you know, because it'll be so many good people there. You know, we are far superior as liberals, Steve.
Of course. They'll put AI versions of us here. No one will notice we're gone. It'll be like
that's a good idea. Hey, if you are new to the platform, you caught our show, please like, subscribe to Really American, and follow the show because, we work hard tirelessly to put out content about what's going on politically around not only our country but around the world. We focus mainly on here until Trump decimates and bombs other countries. Then we'll talk about them.
Right. So, this will be archived and Really American, but you can hear the audio version of this on every podcast platform, Spotify, Apple, and all that stuff. So find it, thevocalminority.net. And we're on Really American, but we also have our own socials, and you can find them on any credible social media, which means all of them except Truth.
And thanks for being part of the resistance, part of the solution, and thanks for listening to the podcast, for crying out loud.
This has been another production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Don't forget to check out all the social media, as the boys are on most platforms. Thanks for being part of the resistance, part of the pushback. Champions all around. Good day.
Indeed.